Exodus in chapter Exodus. That's this morning notes I forgot to take out. We'll be in Acts and chapter number 16 this evening. Acts and chapter number 16. And so my voice is shot. Miss Gwen said she's got allergies, and so we're gonna have to make it without a special. I think we'll make it though. And we'll just all be special this evening. Amen. How's that? Some of you thought you'd never make it. All right. Acts in chapter number 16. And we've been talking here the last three Sunday nights, just kind of along the lines of what does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? And then what does it look like to act right in the Spirit of God? And tonight I want to just address is just the following of the Spirit of God. And I think it's something that many people struggle with. I think it's something that many people just kind of get hung up on is how do they truly know the Spirit of God? I think every one of us, if we say, I love God, I want to be led according to His Spirit, I want to walk in His Spirit, then we need to know kind of how to do that. And so we look here to Acts in chapter number 16, and we're just going to read a story here of what we would call the Macedonian call, is what we're going to read. How God is going to call Paul to a place of service in a special way. And so as we look here, we're going to begin in verse number 6. If you would stand for the reading of the Word of God this evening, we're going to read from verse number 6 down through verse number 13. And it says this. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, I want to just ask this question. Would it be a good thing for them to preach anywhere? Yes, thank you, those of you who answered. Yes, it would be a good thing for the preaching of the gospel to happen anywhere. But we see right here that even though that be a good thing, the Holy Spirit of God forbade them do it. The Holy Spirit of God forbade them do it. Now look at verse number 7. And after they were come to Mysia, and they essayed to go into Bithynia. And if you kind of know, modern day Turkey is kind of where they're talking about Asia. And then Bithynia up north of that region of Asia. But modern day Turkey and Hungary would be those regions that they are talking about. So he essayed to go in Bithynia. But look at this again. But the Spirit suffered them not to do what? To go to those regions and to preach the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord said, no, Paul, that is not where we are going. That's not where I have you to go. And then verse number 8 says, and as they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, look at this, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia and to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is a chief city in that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which had resorted thither. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace, and we thank you for this story. And I believe it to be very familiar for our crowd tonight. But Lord, I pray that you would just help us to have an understanding this evening that God, you have a perfect will for my life and for every life here. And God, I pray that you would just help us that we would learn to be obediently, patiently waiting on you to lead and you to guide in our lives. And God, we need your hand upon us in our life. We need your way in our life. And Lord, I pray you just help us this evening as we consider these thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Acts in chapter number 16 is a key chapter in the Word of God. It's a key chapter for the history of the church here in the Word of God. It's a key chapter for your life and for my life, whether you know that or not or recognize it as such or as not. But it very much is. It is here we see that Paul is given the Macedonian call, this call to go over to what would be modern day Greece and modern day Europe, to the city of Philippi. And in the region of that time known as Macedonia. And you remember, God, listen, He knows the beginning from the end. And God understands that while there were some desires that Paul had, God's plan was bigger than just Paul's desires. It was much bigger. And we could say this. We would say it's bigger because of this. God knows the migration of man. I mean, God knew where world civilization was heading, and He understood what was going on in the time greater than Paul did, and He had a greater understanding of that than Paul could have ever had. And as God knew the migration of man, He knew where mission work needed to be heading. Are you with me? He knew where the mission work needed to be going. Up until this time, the mission work had just been in that lower regions of the Mediterranean and wanting to spread out into Asia and further into Asia and up into Bithynia were regions that were somewhat unreached. But God said, listen, no, those aren't the areas we're going to go to. I've got another plan. And Paul waited for the plan of God. Missions endeavors, listen, from Paul, we're going to go to the west, right? And not to the east. He was going to push on to the west, and God understood that there were things that were happening to the west of where they were that He wanted to get the gospel to. Later on, Paul would even get to the mind that he was going to go as far as Spain to preach the gospel, and there are people that were there, and we understand the Roman Empire and the work of the Roman Empire had taken over the Mediterranean, all of Europe, and they were conquering Germany, and they were going to be going into England, and they were going to be conquering those colonies that were there, and eventually there was going to be a gospel preached there, and there were going to be churches started, and there was going to be a revival, and lo and behold, a few hundred years later, God was going to send people across the ocean to a new colony called America, right? And through all of that, the gospel reached your doorstep. I mean, I know that fast forwards pretty quick, but listen, from this pivotal moment where Paul decided, listen, I'm not just going to go where I want, and I'm not just going to do what I want. I'm going to be obedient unto the Spirit of God, and I'm going to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. Listen, because of that very moment in time where Paul was just patiently waiting on the Lord that we just read about here in Acts number 16, we understand this, that the gospel was able to reach to you and I. I'm not Jew. I'm not from Turkey. I'm not even from, Greece. But listen, God understood where He wanted the gospel to go. We could say this. It's a great sign of spiritual maturity on the part of Paul. Paul was spiritually mature, and we would expect that of Paul. But listen, this, I want us to understand this. It was a sign of spiritual maturity to start to allow God to make decisions for him. And it's a sign of spiritual maturity for you and I when we start to allow God to make decisions for us instead of just doing things that we think are good. And we've been talking about this for the last couple Sunday nights about how God's not interested in you just doing. God wants you to be. And Paul is here, we see, being what he should be, waiting on the Lord, seeking after God, desiring God to give him an answer instead of just doing things. Instead of just doing good stuff, Paul was waiting on the perfect will of God. And many times we just think because we do good things and we make this mistake because we've done a whole lot of good things in our life and because we're involved in a whole lot of good things in our life, that God should just be pleased and that we fulfilled his perfect will. And friend, that's not always the case. It's not just the case that because you determined that what you wanted to do was a good thing, then God should be pleased with the good that you've desired to do, and thus you fulfilled the will of God in your life with all of your good. That's a very flawed logic, friend. That is a logic that is absent from the Word of God. It is a logic that does not fit into God's Word, but would fit more into this world system. Come on. If my good works outweigh my bad works, then I must be good and acceptable in the eyes of God. No, come on. That's literally the philosophy that most even saved Christians operate under. And I'm telling you, it is very flawed to begin with, according to the Word of God. Paul was not in his life trying to delineate, between good and bad. I think that's a mistake that we make sometimes. So I'm doing good, so therefore I'm not bad. Paul wasn't struggling with, should I go and preach the gospel, or should I just go into the city of Philippi, or to the city of Corinth, and just Corinthianize with the Corinthians, right? That wasn't what Paul was struggling with. That wasn't what Paul was trying to weigh out. That wasn't what the wisdom of God was he was trying to discern of the Spirit. He wasn't looking at good and bad decisions. Paul was struggling with what was good and what was perfect. That's what Paul was struggling with. All right, I could go and do good things. And as we read through, Paul wanted in his desire to go into Asia. Good. They needed the gospel there. Come on, they needed the gospel there. There was nobody preaching in Asia, and so they needed the gospel. And Paul endeavored to go, and that Paul wanted to go up to Bithynia, but that wasn't the perfect will of God either. And the Spirit of God forbade him both times. And sadly, most Christians will miss the perfect will of God because they're just busy going about doing the good things, now get this, that they want to do. But the Christian life isn't about just me doing good things I want to do. The Christian life is to be lived as I yield myself to the Spirit of God to do as God would have me to do. And that doesn't mean I don't get to do ever what I want to do. In fact, if my heart is right with God, when I know His perfect will, I should have a desire to fulfill it, and it should become my want. But it wasn't about Paul just sitting around going, where do I want to go? Where do I think we ought to go? What do I think we ought to accomplish? No. It was Paul that said, God, what about this? This would be really good if we could go into Asia. And God, this would be really good if we could go into Bithynia. They need the gospel there. There's souls that need saved there. And there's people that need to be reached up in those regions. And God said, no, I've got another plan, and I will have another way. Paul was interested not just in doing good. He wanted the perfect will of God to be done in his life, and the lives of those who were with whom he ministered with and to. He wanted the perfect will of God for their life. And listen, you and I will never accomplish the perfect will if we're just hung up on how good we are in the good that we're doing. No. Paul wanted to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. That's what Paul's desire was for. He wanted to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. And Paul had gone through the cities of Galatia, and he had previously visited up to this point in the book of Acts. And now he wants to go to these different regions. And that's a good desire. And his mind was to go east into Asia and to Mysia and to Bithynia. But while Paul wanted to do that, what he wanted to do wasn't bad. That wasn't God's mind. And someone once said this, if we are not careful, good can become the enemy of best. If we're not careful, good can become the enemy of best. And so we stop and like, well, what do you mean good can become the enemy of best? Understand with me, marriage is God's idea. It is. It was ordained of the Lord. In fact, the idea of one man and one woman was God's idea. And you stop and look at all the perversion that's out there in this world, and we'd stop and go, yeah, this isn't good. When we look at the LGBTQ community and the things that are going on there, and how marriage is being redefined as something that God never determined in His Word for it to be, and it's something else than God has outlined for it to be, one man and one woman, we'd say, all right, that's not good. That's not good. But that as well does not mean that as long as it's a man and a woman, then it just must be perfect. Come on.
Whoa. Now, come on. No more is it right that the perversions of this world would be accepted than it is for just, he's a man and she's a woman, and so perfect will of God. No, not always. No, there's some people, men and women, who have gotten together in a marital relationship, and they've been anything but perfect will of God. And they've done a lot of things that were very much outside the will of God and outside the perfect will of God. And just because we have a man and a woman, we don't stop and go, this is the best thing that ever possibly could be. It really, honestly, the idea of just a man and a woman, there's a lot of perversion that goes on just between men and women that we would not ever blame on God and go, man, God's all over that, because it's just, it's good that men and women would marry one another and be in relationships with one another. No, there's relationships that men and women still get to that, according to the word of God, in the eyes of God, are perversion as well. And that would not be best. And so we understand that many times good can be the enemy of perfect in many cases. And what Paul was doing wasn't bad. It just wasn't what Paul wanted wasn't bad. It just wasn't what God wanted. And thus, he could have made a mess. Come on, Paul could have gone to those regions and done good things and still made a mess and still not have completed the perfect will of God for him. But instead of Paul going and making a mess of the plan of God and the perfect will of God and accomplishing great things by the plan of God, no, we see Paul practice patient obedience to the Spirit of God. That's what we witness right here. I want to go here. Nope, better stop. Better wait, Paul. Well, how about, okay, if that doesn't there, then let's go here. And God said, no. Just wait, Paul. And then all of a sudden, God begins to speak and God begins to move. And Paul doesn't just go, well, I wonder if this is really God speaking. No. As soon as God spoke, come on, as soon as he spoke, verse number 10, immediately we endeavored to go. There was nothing in a standard way. We waited for God to speak, but when God spoke, watch out, because we're going to get something done. That was Paul. That's what Paul desired to do. Paul wanted to do what was best. Instead of him, he practiced this idea of patient obedience. We go over to James in chapter number 1, and I'm going to remind you of a few things that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. Bring them to memory again for you. And James in chapter number 1 is definitely, we have been referencing over the last couple weeks as we've been talking about this idea of being filled with the Spirit, allowing ourselves to be controlled by the Spirit of God, as opposed to our default setting, which is the lust of our flesh. But he says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Listen, Asia, listen. Oh, why it wasn't bad, it was still a temptation, because it's what Paul thought. Man, this would be the best thing. Bithynia, it wasn't bad, and preaching the gospel there wasn't bad. But it was a temptation. And what Paul had to do was have patience and wait and let patience have its perfect work on you, in you. And you say, well, what do you do when you're waiting? Well, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he shall give it him. No, he just sat and waited and talked to God. No, he didn't move forward. He didn't go anywhere. He just stayed right there, and he waited for the Lord to give wisdom and to give insight and to give leading as to where it was that God wanted them to go. And we stop sometimes and we say, well, man, how did he, I mean, how did he know that it wasn't that it was or was not the will of God? We find that sometimes confusing for ourselves. Come on, how does he know that, this dream he had was the working of God? And how did he put those things together? Listen to me, when we don't know exactly how this take place or this dream, we do know this, that he understood perfectly that when he said, I want to go there, it was the Spirit of God that forbade him. I mean, he just knew within himself, this is not the will of God for me to proceed in this direction to the east. And when he went to go to Bithynia, which was northeast, God said, no, I'm going to stop you again. We're not going there either. He very much clearly knew those things. As well, he clearly understood that this vision that he would receive was as well from God. And he understood the moving of the Spirit of God. And sometimes we can stop and go, man, how is it that these things take place? My dad always said this. He said it was like knowing the will of God was like finally seeing things in color. Where it's not blurry, it's not black and white. And until things are in proper vision, until we have proper sight on something, we need to be patient until God can bring it into color. I think of many times people told me before I went to Israel that, man, when you go to Israel, you're going to read your Bible when you come back, and it's going to put it in color. And I didn't necessarily understood that what that means until I went there and came back and read my Bible a little more. And then I'm able to stop and I'm able to see, man, this is where that took place. And this is where how the Sea of Galilee literally looks. And this is what that part of Jerusalem looks like. And this is what all these different places, this is what they look like. And you can see it in your mind as you are reading it. And it becomes in color as you allow the Word of God. As you read the Word of God, and as you patiently wait upon the Lord, these things can come into color. And when we are at a point of confusion, and we don't have a decision to make, but we don't know where to go, the answer is not, well, we just got to make a decision. You don't got to. You don't. I mean, honestly, we have this American mindset that we've got to get things done. And God hasn't spoken, and God's silence means that God's given me the will to make this decision for myself. I believe there are some decisions that you can make for yourself, and I think God will give you a right to do that. Don't get me wrong. But listen, just because you're impatient to wait on God does not mean that you automatically can move forward. In fact, I think it would be very much a lack of faith for you to, in confusion, not knowing really what to do, just throwing a dart at a dartboard, at a map. It might work out for you, but it don't sit there and go, man, I'm going to throw this. It's going to land on something, and then we'll know. The perfect will of God. That's not how God works. It's not. We'll say, well, just how does God work then? Well, he's going to try your faith, and he wants you to be patient, and he wants you to ask of him, and he wants you to sit still until he speaks. And if America starts moving faster than you are, or faster than God, listen to me, realize that you belong to God first and America second. Amen. No. Realize that you making the decisions that everybody else is pushing you to make don't necessarily make up the will of God. And what we have to do is, instead of being led of our flesh, come on, we're getting back to this idea. Instead of being led by our flesh, instead of being pushed to make decisions that we don't really have the mind of God on, we need to patiently wait on the Lord. Well, what am I supposed to spend my time doing then when God hasn't spoke and a decision has to be made? And I mean, people are waiting on me to make a decision. Well, ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. Talk to God. Come on, we get back to the same idea of being filled with the Spirit. Come on, that when we are filled with the Spirit, we have a joyful attitude, we have a thankful attitude, and we have a humble attitude. When we are filled with the Spirit and we are lacking those things, listen, it is a sign unto the child of God that there is something wrong between you and the Spirit of God. As well, we looked in Colossians in chapter number 3, and we understood that when the Word of God, Word of Christ dwells in us richly, we have those same attributes, a joyful attitude, a thankful attitude, and a humble attitude. And then we discovered this, that if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, in John in chapter 15, you'll bring forth much fruit. And so the answer is not you just running ahead. The answer is not difficult either. The answer is patient obedience. Get into the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to get into you. Allow the Word of God to minister unto you. And many times, listen, this is what is going to take place as you wait and pray and read the Word of God, we can say it like this, as you walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh, the word of God becomes clear. You say, well, I just wish it was like a dream. Like, why doesn't God, you know, speak to me like he did to Paul? And why don't I get to have this vision from heaven? Why? I mean, I just wish I could have this vision, and that make it just so much easier. You understand with me that while that was taking place, while Paul was receiving a vision, he's living out what we're reading. Paul didn't have Acts 16. He was living Acts 16. Paul didn't have the epistles that he wrote yet. He was writing them. In fact, the scripture hadn't been put together in what we would call the word of God yet. It was being done as it speaks. And so the Lord was working, and the Lord was giving him knowledge. But we can go to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 13 and remind ourselves that where there are tongues, they shall cease. Where there are prophecies, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall cease. But when that which is perfect, the word of God, has come. Come on. You and I don't have need of a special vision, because God's already given us a revelation. God's already spoken unto us. God's already talked to you. God's already given you a roadmap. God's already allowed you to have it. And this is what he says: let it dwell in you richly. Abide in my word. He desires that we would continually be going back to his word so that we might be able to know. And why Paul got a vision and we think, man, why did God change it? Because God, listen, he gave us great knowledge. In fact, John, oh man, look over in 1 John. Come on, I want to prove this to you this evening. Over in 1 John, you say, well, how could this be better than a vision? John said it like this. 1 John, chapter number 1, verse number 1. Says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the light was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the message that we declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. Listen, we have a message that has been given us to us, and that which was manifest unto them. Listen, we have a word of God. Listen, and we have fellowship with God, and we go to 1 Peter and 2 Peter in chapter number 1, and we can find out that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Listen, with the word of God, we have greater than an eyewitness. No. When we have the Spirit of God and the word of God and a patient child of God, listen, we have a greater eyewitness than if we were there in the beginning with them. When we just simply be willing to patiently wait on the Lord, when we be simply just content to allow God to be in charge. And Paul didn't move until he was convinced of where the Holy Spirit wanted him to go. And when he was convinced of where the Holy Spirit wanted him to go, listen to me, he wasn't going to sit around. He wasn't going to delay. He didn't say, listen, all right, let's get together. No. Let's see if we can get out of here sometime today. No. Immediately they endeavored to go. And this is what took place. After he patiently waited, after he was obedient to go when he was told to go, he went to, of all places, the city of Philippi. And if you look back in Acts in chapter number 16, you say, so big deal, the city of Philippi. I want us to get this. Because many times we get ahead of God because we think we're going to miss out on something, or we think, man, I don't know that we'd say this, but we think like God doesn't really see what we see, and God doesn't see the bigger picture. But I'm telling you, God does. God does. He sees a far greater picture than you do. He sees something far bigger than who you are. You're just part of his plan. You don't get to make the plans. And he says he went to the city, verse number 12, of Philippi. Look at this, which was a chief city of that part of Macedonia. It says that it was, and a colony. It was a colony. Now, you can go and study this for yourself, but it's really a neat study. But when it says it's a chief city and a colony, it was where there was a military installation. It was part of the Aegean Highway ran through the city of Philippi. And that's a road that the Roman Empire built from Rome. And at that time, it stretched through the city of Philippi from Italy to Greece and along the upper part of Turkey, modern day Turkey. And it stretched as far down into India going east. That's how far it went. And this was a chief city, it was colonized. And so when we talk about colonization, that means that prominent families from the city of from the Roman Empire were moved to the city of Philippi, and they colonized it. And the idea and the design was that we would teach them not how to be Greeks anymore. We were going to teach them what it was to be a proper Roman citizen. That's what they were using the city of Philippi for. And so we'd understand this, that while the city of Philippi was there, it was a colony. We also even understand a little further that the city itself was named after a guy named Philip of Macedon, who just happened to be the father of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great had a kingdom that stretched down into modern day India. And Alexander the Great would have had trade routes and would have had connections as far east as India. Farther east than Paul even had a mind to go. No, are you with me? I mean, Paul's mind was Asia, Turkey, Bithynia, kind of Hungary, Turkey area. That was Paul's mind. You know what God's mind was? You know, we could go to a city and we could go a little further east with the gospel than Asia if you'd go preach in a little city called Philippi. I mean, just a little colonized area that is in Philippi. I mean, it's got a road that stretches as far as Alexander the Great's kingdom stretched down into India. We could get the gospel going along that highway that way. And not only that, we could begin to go west with the gospel. I mean, to where kind of, I mean, if you want to put it this way, the center of the universe was not in Israel at this time. No, it would have been over in a little country we know as Italy, in a little place we call Rome. Yeah. I mean, that was really where the world empire was at the time. And from this little move that God was making, and even though, man, I mean, what difference does it make? I mean, if the gospel's preached, praise the Lord. No, listen to me. On a very surface level, I understand, and I'll say this. I don't think we can share the gospel with the wrong person, but it should be my heart's desire that I share the gospel, that God will put me in a position to where he is going to have people prepared for me to share the gospel with. That he's going to guide my steps and he's going to guide my way. And listen, why Paul's idea, I mean, man, it would have got the gospel out. I'm telling you, God's plan had a far more reaching pattern and had a far more reaching ability than Paul's attitude. In fact, we could say this. I mean, as far as the gospel going east and the ability of the gospel to go east with Paul's mindset, that could have taken place if Paul went east. But at best, listen, at best, it would have only accomplished half of what God wanted to do. Come on, are you with me? Because God took him to a place where the gospel could go east and west. I mean, at best, it was, I mean, we could say this, at Paul's dead level best in what Paul could accomplish, in what Paul could do, in all Paul's good works, in all the things that he was motivated to do. Paul, at best, you're half as good as what God can do. Yeah. And when you and I are going to not allow ourselves to be filled with the Spirit, but we're just going to go out and do the good things we know to do, and you and I aren't going to abide in the Word of God, you and I are not going to patiently wait on God in prayer and seek after God, asking wisdom of God. Listen, on our best day, I mean at our dead level best we could ever do, we might accomplish half as much as God could if we simply would have patiently waited on him to accomplish a perfect work in us that had nothing to do with our glory, had nothing to do with our ability, had nothing to do with our ideas, but had everything to do with his perfect will for our lives. Friend, this idea of walking in the Spirit, the idea of being filled with the Spirit, This idea of allowing the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. The idea of allowing his word to abide in you. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's a pretty big deal. And we are failing. We are failing when we choose to do good instead of to wait on the perfect will of God. And this is the old adage. Listen, if you don't do it, someone will. And that might be the case, that someone might go do, well, something like what God's called you to do. They might go to knock on that door that God told you to knock to. Somebody else might share the gospel with your neighbor. Somebody else might go to, I don't know, Timbuktu with the gospel like God's called you to do. I don't know what God's called you to do. Somebody else might accomplish it. But listen to me, don't ever for 1 second think that that negates you from fulfilling in your life the perfect will of God. Because God has a perfect will for you. And if you would be, by patience, allow the work that God is doing to have a perfect work in you, that you could be perfect in, with an entire wanting nothing. Listen, by obedience to His Spirit, listen to me. There is no good work that you could do that could ever replace that. Come on. There's not enough good works that you could do to for God to just say, man, I had a perfect will, but you've done so much good. I don't know how I could be upset about it. No. I think there's a lot of children of God that are going to get to heaven that have spent their life doing good things, and yet we've missed the perfect will of God because we had our own will and we had our own way, and we were dissatisfied doing those things that were good instead of patiently waiting for the things that God had that were perfect. And I'm just telling you, I don't think I'm going to be there into heaven one day and hear, hey, you did a lot of good things. Well done, thou good and faithful servant of God. Come on, I don't get home after giving explicit instructions to my children. Come on. And tell them, listen, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. And I get home and the kids are not doing or have not done what I wanted them to do. And they all just, well, but I mean, no, we didn't do that. But look at the pretty picture I drew you. Well, that's sweet. Thank you for the sentiment. I mean, I'm not going to wad up their picture in front of them and throw it in their face. Right? Well, no, we didn't do what you told us to do, but we did do these other things, and I didn't hit my sister, and I didn't, you know, abuse the dog. All these, oh, come on. All these good things we want to do, but the fact remains that what the Father asked us to do didn't go undone. I often tell my children, listen, you can do all, you can watch TV, you can color, and they love to get art stuff out and spread it all over the house, and we can do all of those things after the dishes are done, right? Yeah. Listen, after the floor has been swept and mopped, after this, the yard is mowed, there are a lot of good things we can do. But listen, all those good things will never, ever, ever cause a father to be appeased when he's left a specific instruction to be done. And listen, that's not an earthly father's going to be appeased. And I guarantee you, there's not a heavenly father that's going to be appeased when we get to heaven and say, well, come on. I mean, God, look at all the good things I've... No. When we just simply refuse to be patient, wait on the Lord, and allow Him to have a perfect work in us. Not for our glory, not for our desires, not that we could just do the good we wanted to do, but that we did explicitly what He has commanded us to do. And again, I want to say, this isn't hard. It's real simple. Be patient. Pray. Get into the Word of God. And this is what's going to take place. This is what's... I'm just telling you, this will always take place. If you'll patiently pray and stay in the Word, the perfect will of God will become clear. And all that is left to do after that, listen, is to expedite it to be done. No, come on. All that's left to do is to immediately go and get it accomplished. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.